AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's a very good evening and happy Monday to you all. Mind you, the weather is not very reflective of a good day, really, was it? To be honest with you, it's raining kind of everywhere. Anyway, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about GDPR. Well, when I say GDPR, Data Protection Commissioner has serious concerns in relation to people posting pictures of their children on the internet. And there's a new TV commercial got out, and I have to say it's quite terrifying to watch, where a young child is wandering to a shopping centre with her mum, and people, complete strangers, are saying hello to her and wishing her a happy birthday, saying they've seen her online, etc., etc., etc. And it's quite dark. And it does give the impression that maybe it's not such a good idea to be posting pictures of your five-year-old online when they're celebrating their birthday. And I'm going to be asking you the question, do you believe it's irresponsible to do so? And does it breach their GDPR? There was an interesting case going back about, oh, it must be about 7 or 8 years ago, where a Swedish girl who was aged over 18 took a case against her parents for posting pictures of her online when she was a child. Now, she also took a duplicate case against Facebook. And I think, as far as I remember, she won the case based on the fact she didn't consent to it. So it's an interesting case, and it sets an interesting precedent going forward as well. And I'm wondering how you feel about it. Do you post pictures of your kids online? Do you see it's no harm? You know, you're doing it for your relatives or only for the people that, you know, you're friends with. But then again, are you really friends with 3,500 people? I doubt it. Would you walk out into O'Connell Street and post a picture of your child online? I doubt it. Something I've never done, but some people do it all the time, and maybe they see no harm in it. Let me know what you think. But first, controversy over nothing to some degree, because it has now been pulled from Dublin City Council, the agenda. And this is the agenda to rename what used to be called Orwell Quarry Park back in 1985, but was renamed Herzog Park, over renamed after Shem Herzog, who was born in Belfast and raised in Dublin, and then went on to be the President of Israel for a decade. And leftist or socialist councillors are saying that the name should be changed because of what's happening between Israel and Palestine at the moment. Now, it's not such a big deal from an Irish perspective, but this has gone international. It's gone global. It's on BBC, it's on Sky News, it's on CNN. It's everywhere. And some people suggest that it paints a picture of Ireland being anti-Semitic. For example, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin on the proposal to rename Herzog Park said, "The proposal to rename Herzog Park should be withdrawn in its entirety and not proceeded with," which, by the way, it has been dropped now. "The proposal would erase the distinctive and rich contribution to Irish life of the Jewish community over many decades, including actual participation in the Irish War of Independence and the emerging state. The proposal is a denial of our history and without any doubt can be seen as anti-Semitic. It is overly divisive and wrong. Our Irish Jewish community's contribution to our country's evolution and its many forms should always be cherished and generously acknowledged. The motion must be withdrawn, and I ask all on Dublin City Council to seriously reflect on the implications of this move." There was also a comment as well, I won't read it out now, by Helen McEntee and many others. And because of that, it was withdrawn. But the very fact that it was even suggested in the first place and has become now international news, how does that put us on an international stage? And I want to know, maybe you agree with the renaming. We're renaming a lot of things. They even suggested now they want to rename Dublin Airport. Why? Dublin Airport is a fine name, if you ask me. It's Dublin. It's an airport. Some people have suggested Samuel Beckett Airport, Sinead O'Connor Airport. What, a Bono Airport or something? What about Niall Boylan Airport while we're at it? Or even John McGurk Airport, because he joins me on the line. John, hi, how are you?
Good morning, Niall. Or good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, John McGurk Airport sounds good to me, by the way. Can I just say...
But I'm actually driving past it at the moment. I'd like a big sign with my name up on it, actually. That would be nice.
But listen, John, all this kerfuffle about Herzog Park, to be fair, I suppose the argument is historical naming. And by the way, I'm going to take up the counter-argument because I did give the opportunity to Conor Reddy, who said he couldn't come on. He was doing another interview. Dahi Doolan, I asked as well. He said he couldn't come on. He was on another interview. I've asked numerous people at this stage. I've even publicly asked on Twitter that anybody who agrees with it, I give them the opportunity to come on. So I have given other people the opportunity to come on and defend this proposal. But, you know, the argument is, I suppose, that they make historical naming, you know, context versus present-day values. The fact that Herzog Park was named decades ago under very different political conditions means that we can kind of justify changing its name now. But can we?
Well, I think any time you set out to do anything in politics, there's a cost and there is a benefit, right? So that's what you call a cost-benefit analysis. You'd hope our politicians do it all the time. Now, the proposed benefit, as I understand it, from renaming the park, the reason they set out to do it is to send some kind of international signal that Dublin disapproves of the Israeli actions in Gaza. That is the benefit. That is the reason that you're doing it. You're doing it to say, we disapprove of the Israelis so much, we're taking the name of this former Israeli president off a park in Dublin, and that'll really show you, Netanyahu, and maybe you'll think twice the next time you step out of line. So that is the proposed benefit. Now, the cost of doing this is causing great upset, hurt, and pain to Ireland's very small Jewish community that lives in that part of Dublin, where the only two Jewish schools in the country are, where one of the very few synagogues are, and it's the last area where Jews live in any kind of number close to each other in the country. So your benefit is sending a signal internationally that you don't like Benjamin Netanyahu, and your cost is alienating your local Jewish community and making them feel, and many of them have very eloquently spoken in the last few days, how this makes them feel completely alienated from the country, that they're being punished for the actions of another country. And so I think in that context, when your protest against Israel involves inflicting hurt, pain, and upset on your local Jewish community, as this one clearly does, then I don't think it's any longer a matter of it being an anti-Israel act. It becomes de facto an anti-Jewish act. And that is why, internationally, there has been such outrage about this, because people are looking and they're saying, this isn't about changing Israel's behavior. Nobody rational in the world, not a single human being in the world, thinks that Israeli foreign policy or Israeli domestic policy or Israeli policy in the West Bank is going to change in a moment because of what some park in Dublin is called.
But I mean, they will argue that there's a kind of difference. You know, isn't there a distinction between commemorating a Jewish-Irish-born individual and endorsing present-day policies of, you know, the Israeli state? I mean, could we not honour Jewish-Irish heritage in other ways while removing that political symbolism?
Well, no, because what they're saying is essentially that it's this particular Jew who's the problem, because he was president of Israel, and it's Israel we don't like, we're fine with the Jews. That's the argument that I suspect they would be making if they had balls to come on your show and defend themselves, which, of course, apparently they're all doing interviews in some other way.
Well, yeah, well, Conor McGregor was going to say, Conor Reddy from People for Profit was on this morning on RTE and said he wouldn't recognise the state of Israel. I mean, that's how far this debate has gone now at this stage.
Exactly. So, which in itself, by the way, is saying that in his view, Jewish people internationally have no entitlement to a state of their own. I mean, all Zionism, keep saying we're anti-Zionist. Every political party in the state, bar People Before Profit, is Zionist, because every political party in the state recognizes the right of Israel to exist where it's located on planet Earth. That's all Zionism is. It's the belief that the Jewish people are entitled to a state in their homeland, which is the region that has been variously called Syria, Palestina, Palestine, Judea, whatever you want to call it, that part of the world. That's all Zionism is. So when he's saying he doesn't recognize Zionism, he means he doesn't recognize the right of any Jewish people, all 8 million of them, to live in that part of the world at all. That's what he's saying. And then he's simultaneously trying to say, oh, well, I'm not anti-Semitic. I have no problem with Jews in general, just the uppity ones who think they've an entitlement to their own country. I mean, come on.
Well, he'll obviously, I can't argue for him, but he'll argue it's not their own country.
He could go back and read his Bible and take that up with King Herod and the Jews who were there in the time of Jesus. I mean, this is the thing. Like, Jewish people have been living in that part of the world for millennia, literal millennia. And we know this is true because the historical record is there. And people who say that, I'm not going to get into the whole debate because it's kind of secondary debate. The issue is here, you can have that geopolitical debate, if you really want to have it, about whether Jews deserve this state, without going out of your way to upset, for no good reason, the small Jewish community we have in Ireland. These people have done us no harm. The Jewish community living in Dublin has done us no harm. All they want is to live in that little part of Dublin and have a park with the name of somebody who's very important to them on it. Chaim Herzog is the only foreign head of state in history to have been able to come to Ireland and speak to us fluently in our own native tongue. He's a fluent Irish speaker. He was a Republican. His father was friends with Eamon de Valera. That family backed the Irish nationalist movement. Michael Collins hid in his house twice during the War of Independence. These are people with deep connections to Ireland as well. We have our own reasons to commemorate the Herzog family. And the idea that we're doing this, you know, this massive thing, which is really hurtful to a small community, to make an esoteric point. If Dublin City Council, Niall, wants to commemorate the people of Palestine or say we deplore the loss of life, why don't they put up a plaque somewhere on a wall in one of our own parks and say, here is a memorial to the dead of dead Palestinians in the Israel-Hamas war of 2023-25. Why can't they do that? Why does the action that they take to protest this conflict have to involve inflicting pain, alienation, and misery on our tiny little Jewish community?
The advocates for renaming will argue that the public park should not honour someone associated with the founding of the State of Israel, particularly given the accusations about displacement of Palestinians and the occupation and the ongoing conflict. So that's why, you are right. Put up a plaque somewhere, fine. But that's not the point and principle of what they want to do. What they want to do is remove a name that they believe is associated with the death of many Palestinians in Gaza.
Yeah, but then you ask, because you said at the start of the program, like, this has drawn a massive international reaction. And then you're essentially confirming why now, because you just said that their point is that no place in Dublin could ever be associated, even at the cost of hurting our Jewish community, with anyone ever involved in the founding of Israel or the governance of Israel. So we are explicitly saying in Ireland, we want to turn our back on the world's only Jewish state, to effectively isolate it completely and say, no Israeli heritage welcome here. And then we're wondering why the millions of people around the world, for whom this is an explicitly anti-Semitic thing that you're doing, because you're saying we don't want anything to do with the world's only Jewish state, then we're wondering, well, why are they all getting their backs up and calling us anti-Semitic? Well, maybe it's because we're doing something that to the vast majority of the world feels exceedingly anti-Semitic. When you're saying we don't want to have anything to do with the world's only Jewish state, to the extent that we will dename a tiny little park that's important to Ireland's Jewish community just to make that point, well, that feels like you're crossing the road to slap them in the face. That feels like you're crossing the road to be insulting. I mean, you know, the UN came out on Friday and said that the worst genocide of this millennium is presently happening in Sudan.
This is Christians being slaughtered, yes.
Christians being slaughtered by the Muslim RDF militia in Sudan. And I haven't seen a single protest march or a single motion at Dublin City Council or a single kind of like raising the Sudanese flag above City Hall or whatever, whatever nonsense they do. There's been none of that. So, and I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying you don't have a right to speak about Palestine unless you've spoken about those issues. But I am saying when you are from the rest of the world and you're looking in, and you're asking, why do the Irish care so much about this Palestinian conflict when they haven't said a damn thing about Sudan? And why are they going after the only park in Dublin that's named after the Jewish community? Well, people are capable of putting two and two together and approximating an answer that makes sense in their own head. Even though we, as Irish people, many of us, are kind of making excuses for ourselves and saying, oh, no, two and two actually equals three or five. It's not what it looks like. It's something completely different.
What are the optics like this, John? Now, I know it has now been dropped because of pressure, obviously, from the Taoiseach and Helen McEntee and others as well, and the suggestion by many people worldwide that it was anti-Semitic or suggested it was anti-Semitic, and it has been dropped. The original renaming proposal was back in 2024 when they said, well, it wasn't a renaming process. They wanted to dename it because they have to dename it before they can rename it, which is all a load of nonsense, if you ask me. But anyway... But I mean, how does this look for Ireland? Even though it's now being dropped, this is on BBC News, it's on CNN, it's on Sky News, all over a tiny little park in the middle of Ratgar in Dublin that they wanted to rename. How does this look for Ireland?
It looks bad. It looks bad. I mean, I often think, I mean, we've covered many stories on grift over the years, and one that always stuck with me was there was an elderly man down in Roscommon who his little dog nipped somebody on the ankle and the council was going to put it down. And the dog was his only companion. And there was a massive public uproar and people said, no, you cannot do this. You cannot do it. And eventually the council relented. But people were still really angry because they were like, it's the instinct that upsets us. Why is the council going to take this elderly man's only companion and put it to sleep against its will? That is cruel. Your intention was cruel. So if you say, well, we're going to do a really cruel thing, and then you say, ah, well, actually, now you're all really upset, so we won't do it for now. People know what your intention was. And people know, by the way, that this is, like, this is what really annoys me as a citizen, Niall, more than anything else, is that Ireland's Jewish community spoke up about this. Irish Jews spoke up about it. The chief rabbi spoke up and said, this is not good. And did anyone listen? No. It took, and I know this for a fact, from a very senior source in the Department of Foreign Affairs, it was international feedback that changed the government's mind. It was embassies overseas in the US and Brussels and other parts of the world feeding back kind of going, this is going down really badly. That is what got them to change their mind. And that's what upsets me as a citizen, because they didn't listen necessarily to their own people who were horrified about this. It was only when international pressure was applied did the Irish government decide that actually we can't go ahead with inflicting this grievous insult on a minority community of 2,000 people in our city. And by the way, these people are the same people in Dublin City Council who have renamed the Christmas lights the winter lights.
Well, now, can I just say, Dublin City Council have argued about that, and they said, we always call them the winter lights, and there is a separate set of Christmas lights, which are up, obviously, up in Henry Street and Grafton Street and everywhere else. So Dublin City Council have argued about that and said, we've always called them the winter lights. Now, I know Aintu have been posting about that quite a lot lately, but Dublin City Council have responded to that and said that from the start, they always call them the winter lights, but there is Christmas lights, and they're not afraid to use the word Christmas, and they're up in Grafton Street, and they're up in Henry Street, and they're up everywhere else. Anyway, Norman just sent in a text while you were on, John. He said, yes, 100% agree with the renaming of the Park and Rock Gar. Both Herzog, father and son, are Zionists, are behind the Zionist ideology and the horror they have.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Inflicted on so many innocent Palestinians, hundreds have died in the so-called ceasefire, including 70 children. It's a small gesture, but sends the right message to all the Zionists across the world, especially now that the government are most likely giving up on the occupied territories bill. That comes in from Norman. How do you respond to that?
Well, he's saying exactly what I've been saying. It's about sending a little signal that we don't like the Zionists, i.e. people who believe Israel has a right to exist, because that is what Zionism means. It doesn't mean anything else. It means that Jewish people have a right to live in their own homeland in Judea. And it's about sending a signal that they're not welcome here. Well, there's 2,000 people here in Ireland who are Jewish people. The overwhelming majority of Jewish people worldwide support the idea of Israel's right to exist, as do, the vast majority of people in the West, full stop. And so what you're saying to those people is, your views, your heritage, your family, your history is not welcome here because we in this country are obsessed with a 2,000-year-old conflict in a part of the world that we can't affect. And just to make a point, we're going to give you the middle finger. We're going to associate you, the Irish Jewish people, with what's going on in the Middle East, and we're going to give you the middle finger to make us feel better, even though it doesn't make a blind bit of difference. It is childish, it is schoolboy politics, and all it does, and by the way, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Has this little demonstration that Ireland has engaged in for the last week, has it changed Israeli policy? Has it improved Ireland's standing in the world? Has it made us look better? Has Donald Trump sat up and gone, oh my goodness, they're changing the name of a park in Dublin. Maybe I'll have to rethink my support for Benjamin Netanyahu. Or, on the other hand, has it made us look small and petty and made the Israeli government, which, by the way, has been happy to associate itself with the campaign to stop this, or has it made them look like victims of the big bad Irish? So even from a strategic point of view, you haven't helped the Palestinians one iota. You've just made our country, which I don't think is inherently anti-Semitic, or at least the vast majority of people in it are not, you've made us look awful.
But we look, but with the greatest respect, John, we look awful anyway. We have nailed our colours clearly to the mast over the last few years. I mean, Ireland won one of the first countries in the West to recognise the state of Palestine. So, you know, we have nailed our colours to the mast anyway.
Yeah, but we have pretended. I mean, the thing is, when the war was going on, there was a case for all this, right? Your Irish diplomat in Berlin, who's facing into the German Foreign Affairs Ministry going, why is your country so ardently anti-Israel? That ambassador could say, well, look, there is a conflict on. We believe pressure needs to be exerted on the Israelis to bring it to an end for humanitarian reasons. The ambassador could say that. What can the ambassador say now? There is a ceasefire in Gaza that has been mediated by the Americans that the European Union supports. And, you know, and where there are American and troops on the ground and there are troops from other Arab countries going in to help enforce this ceasefire. And we're still saying, oh, well, that's not enough. We still want to sanction the Israelis with the Occupied Territories Bill. We still want to de-name all the parks. Can that Irish ambassador now turn around and what's his answer to why do you want to do that? What is his answer?
Yeah, but we did the same thing with the Ukrainian war. Sure, when the Ukrainian war started as well and people were coming here for the first time back March 2.5 years ago, whenever it was, I mean, we wanted to rename roads around the Russian embassy, if you remember. They wanted to give the roads Ukrainian names, which I thought was the most bizarre suggestion I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We sympathize with the people of Ukraine. But, I mean, to suggest giving, you know, changing the name of roads to Ukrainian names just to me just seemed like the most bizarre thing. But, John, before you go, we're kind of on a renaming buzz lately. They renamed the library, of course, in Trinity College, come back last year. Now they want to rename Dublin Airport. Now, there's nothing political in this, obviously, but, I mean, to me, Dublin Airport, even though somebody mentioned to me it's actually not called Dublin Airport, it's called Collinstown Airport, is actually the correct name for it. But I don't know anybody who calls it Collinstown Airport, by the way, can I just point out? It's Dublin Airport. And they want to rename that. They've suggested Samuel Beckett, Sinead O'Connor. Thankfully, nobody has suggested Bono. But, I mean, do you believe we need to rename the airport, like George Best or John Lennon Airport? You know, do we need to rename it?
Well, we don't, for the simple reason that, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm alone, but when I fly into airports around the world, I don't Google who they're named after. I don't really understand what the point is. And all this will be is a squabble over who gets the name. I mean, if I was to pick somebody, I'd be Jack Charlton, by the way. Jack Charlton International Airport. That would be...
Or Mick McCarthy Airport, yeah.
Mick McCarthy, or the Saipan International Airport. Why not? I think the name of the airport is absolutely fine. If there's a massive case for honouring somebody by renaming the airport after them, then we would all instinctively know who that person was. You know, this is the thing. I think there should be consensus, first of all, that somebody deserves a massive honour before you decide that the honour should be naming the airport after them. If there was some obvious candidate to name the airport after, there'd be no debate about it. So therefore, what we've decided to do is basically, here's an honour we should bestow on somebody, and then we'll try and figure out who's most deserving, which is, I think, completely backwards way of doing it. I think if there was an obvious person who was jumping out of all of our minds, who said, this person deserves some major honour for the service they've done the state.
It's Conor McGregor-like.
well, exactly, Conor McGregor. Or more seriously, maybe for example, if John Hume hadn't already won the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, maybe there'd be an argument there. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah.
For purposes of peace or whatever.
But I actually personally don't get it. I mean, I'm familiar with George Best Airport, but it used to be called Belfast City Airport, and most people still refer to it as the City Airport. They don't refer to it as George Best Airport. John Lennon Airport, of course, in Liverpool as well, changed its name. But I think it's just confusing for you know, passengers or people who are booking flights or whatever it is. You know, the same way as they have letters for airport, for example, Orlando International Airport is MCO. You know, it's kind of confusing. I think just stick to the name of the city that the airport is in. It just doesn't make sense to me to put names on airports.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look, Washington has two airports. One is called Dulles. The other is called Ronald Reagan Airport. There's John F. Kennedy, obviously, in New York. There's Logan Airport in Boston. But does anybody listening to this who knows anything, who's flown to the United States, does anyone know why Logan Airport is called Logan Airport?
No idea.
You fly into it?
No idea.
Exactly. I don't either.
Maybe somebody was a fan of Logan's Run or something like that. I don't know.
That's exactly the case. I mean, and in London, I mean, they name the airports after where they are. You know, if Luton started naming their airport after, you know, some Luton Town footballer, that would make no difference to me. I think it's one of those things. It's one of those things that we do very well in Ireland. It is a self-involved debate that nobody else in the world cares about, where we can't even decide who's worthy of the honour before we just decided that it's an honour we should bestow on somebody.
Yeah, but Dewey, by the way, just quickly before you go, is it necessary to change names? When you say, for example, I don't know, we'll take a building in a college that was named after somebody, you know, 200 years ago who happened to be a person who bought and sold slaves, which would have been the norm at the time. Obviously not now. We look back at that now and we're horrified by that. But even though that's part of history, is it important to rename those places and say we don't recognize these people nowadays as doing something right in their lives?
I don't think so, because I think one of the worst things about woke, in inverted commas, is the way that we project our own values back through the past and judge people by modern standards rather than by the standards of their times. You do not have to excuse slavery, for example, to recognize that George Washington, the first president of the United States, who was a slaveholder, was a great man in many respects and accomplished an awful lot in the context of the times that he lived. You know, we're not going to suddenly rip up the speeches of Cicero and say, well, we're not reading Cicero anymore because he lived during the Roman Empire and they enslaved a load of Gauls. The fact is, you have to judge people by the context of the time in which they lived. I mean, at some stage, this is going to be done for reasons we don't know quite yet why, to our own patriot dead, right? Somebody's going to find something problematic that Padraig Pearse believed or that Daniel O'Connell believed. And they're going to say, does that negate the work that they did in founding our independent republic here in this country? I don't think so. So I don't think this business of going back and taking people's names off buildings to kind of try and erase them from history or dishonor them 200 years after their death, I think it is the most petty, ridiculous thing ever. I think you can say about somebody, this is a person who was a very significant figure in history. Here was the good about them. Here was the bad about them. This is why they are remembered. And let our children make up their own minds about what those people were like or how to judge them. I think this business of deciding that we have to police history by going back and making sure that certain people's names are deleted from it or deleted from popular memory, that is no different to what, like, you're no different to what the Romans used to do to emperors they didn't like when all their statues would be taken down and there would be an actual attempt to erase them from history. You're no different to what Stalin did to that picture of Trotsky that people will probably be familiar with. They'll have seen it, where one minute Trotsky was standing beside Stalin in the photograph and the next minute he was deleted because Stalin wanted to control history and what people knew about the past. You're no different. You think you're morally better, but you're not. Mm-hmm. You're just the same as those people in the past who were extreme enough to try and eradicate history and people from history because they didn't like what they did.
John, thank you very much for taking the call for us today. I know you're kind of busy there because it sounds like you're on the way somewhere. But look, wherever you're going, by the way, have a good time. Listen, thank you very much indeed. John McGurk from Grip Media, I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Okay, we're going to take your calls. I'm going to come to another John just after the break, and I want to come to Billy as well. And we are talking about, I suppose, specifically renaming the Herzog Park. Now, remember, of course, it has been dropped by Dublin City Council, but not after it went worldwide. The Taoiseach got involved. Hannah McEntee got involved. Everybody got involved in this particular agenda, saying this is not the right thing to do. I want to ask you, was it the right thing to do? Do we change names in history going forward, you know, in political context? In other words, you know, that we now recognize that this isn't the right name for something, so we change it politically. Let me know what you think. The number is 085-122-55.
Let's Dance, the only weekly over 35s, 80s, 90s and noughties party, returns every Saturday to Dublin's top club Soho at 21 Delir Street. Doors open at 5:30, and in 2025, it's bigger and better than ever. Legendary DJs and MCs, dancers, performers, an electric atmosphere, and the best crowd in Dublin. Tickets and group packages for Let's Dance are available now. Search Soho Dublin on eventbrite.ie and we'll see you on the dance floor.
All right, welcome back. Now, a lot of people are asking, by the way, now, who's Herzog? Because a lot of people don't even know who he is, by the way. Yes, well, he did serve as the president of Israel for a decade, but he was born in Belfast, raised in Irish, probably speaks better Irish than me and you, by the way. And that park was originally called Orwell Quarry Park. But it became a place, I suppose, where a lot of Jewish people lived, and they changed the name in 1985 to recognise his contribution to Irish society before he became the president of Israel, of course, for a decade. Now, there was a push to rename or dename the park back in 2024. That has come up again in the last 2 weeks now, and this is in the context of the ongoing war in Gaza and people in solidarity with the people of Palestine. So I want to know if you think it was a good idea to rename it, or is this political madness? Because look what's happening now because of this. all over the world, media outlets all over the world are suggesting that even the idea of this, or to even suggest to do this to a small community of Jewish people in Ireland, in Ratgar, is anti-Semitic. That's what they're suggesting. And even the Taoiseach has suggested the same thing. It would be nothing but anti-Semitic, and that it'd be dropped immediately. Now, it was dropped yesterday evening, by the way, but it may come back up again. Let me know what you think. Should it be named or renamed, denamed? What's the word you want to use, the best word you want to use, and what would you call it? There has been some crazy suggestions, like Gaza Park, which I think would be the wrong thing to do, because I think we're going down the opposite road then. Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Not too bad. I suppose this is a non-entity, no, seeing that they've changed their mind.
But it's not really, because the story is international now. It doesn't matter that it's been dropped. As John McGraw rightly said, the very suggestion that we were going to do it in the first place makes it news, doesn't it?
Well, there is that. But what I don't like about it is Micheál Martin wading in across the global statesman. Of course, this doesn't even appear on the dial, no, for leaders' questions. That likes trotting around the world. Oh, here comes the Irish Prime Minister. I believe him and Harris and that fool McEntee shouldn't have gotten involved in it, because it's stone. You're elected.
Hold on, John. Whether you like them or whether you don't like them is irrelevant, right? What I'm saying is, that's fine. They are the leaders of the. They are part of the government of the country. They are the leaders. Harris and Micheál Martin are the leaders of the country. And, you know, it reflects on them, it reflects on our country as a whole, what we do. So decisions like this that become international stories, they do have a right to comment on it.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, putting pressure on the elected members of Dublin City Council, like gerrymandering, like intimidating, bullying, harassment, that's the right word, but that don't, it should be left up to them. But your man is just wading in again, Harris, and of course, and Martin, because they're just strutting around on the world stage. No, they spend more time out of the country than in the country. No, look, the world is not going to end if this was renamed anywhere, right? Because, look, there was talks in Cork here for McCutcheon Street in Cork, which is called after Thomas McCutcheon, who was murdered in 1920 by the British forces in front of his wife and children. And there was plans to rename it the Victorian Quarter, because there's Victorian buildings there and stuff like that, and some of the uppies wanted to do that, and there was a lot of outcry in Cork, and it died a kind of a death, but they still put it up on the website when they're advertising the area, right? Which to me is wrong. It's the McCutcheon Quarter, it should be, not the Victorian Quarter. But
you still have the English market in Cork, that's okay, people don't seem bothered by that.
There's Dermot O'Kyle, who's been on your programme there, who's a fluent Irish speaker, right?
Is he the man who went around painting all the signs?
That's right, yeah.
I remember having him on a long time ago.
At the time, I kind of disagreed with him, because I think that there's a historical fact as well. Like, you know, people were here, we have the history here, but...
Well, I mean, if you were to try to erase Britain from Ireland, you'd be a long time doing it, including old post boxes and all sorts of things, which are essentially British. I mean, how many streets in Ireland are named after parts of Britain? I mean, there are so many. You would be a long, long time removing that kind of link. That's history, isn't it?
I possibly got it wrong. I probably should have being a more on his side, like, so I changed my mind on that.
John, you can't erase... I mean, I agree with John McGurk. You can't erase history, no matter how badly it might look to you now. At the time, you have to look at it in context. You can't erase history. We can talk about it and ask, was it bad or good, but you can't erase it. That's ridiculous.
Well, what they should have done, the Irish government, to me, like, I mean, rather than waiting for when the state of Palestine was recognised by the Irish government, the Israelis closed the embassy in Dublin. Now, to me, that embassy shouldn't be opened for a long, long time, if ever, because the genocidal campaign, and I'm not leaving Hamas off the hook here, they're pure scumbags, and the people marching on Cork for the last 2 years have no idea what Hamas are about, or they know nothing about Palestine, because you have gays for Palestine and all this. Do they know what they do to gay people out there?
I know that is a bit hypocritical, but in saying that, they're still allowed to support it if they want to. Let me get back to the naming of the park. We're got off on a tangent. In relation to the naming of the park, you know, you have to understand the effect that would have on a small community of people. I mean, the Irish Jewish population was much bigger many, many years ago, but it has now been reduced to, it's less than 2,000 people now. And the majority of those do live in that area.
Yeah, but I mean, look, if, as I say, it's not going to happen anymore, but if it did happen, right... Look, it's just a plaque, and look, It has to be.
It's more than just a plaque, John. It's more than just a plaque. It's a point of principle.
Well, it is to them, because you see, the Israel, like, I mean, you know, I know what happened during the Second World War and everything with Hitler and the 6 million Jews and the whole lot. We all know the history of it. But at the same time, that doesn't give them a blank sheet of paper. Like, I mean, to kind of just that you can't ever criticize Israel, or you can't change this or change that. You know, they don't have a monopoly, like even in the word Holocaust. Like, I mean, there's a Holocaust of the unborn.
Yeah, but they do have a right to live somewhere. Currently, the ones who are living in Ireland, they have a right to live here. And they have a right, by the way, not to be insulted.
Well, I mean, the problem is, I mean, with what happened, you see, the Hamas attack was horrific, as I say, burning babies and raping women and kidnapping people. But the reaction, like, by the Israelis, I think a lot of sentiment that people had over the years with the Holocaust and everything and the 6 million Jews and the gas ovens and all, I think is kind of after being lost in account of the reaction, the over-the-top reaction of murdering and mayhem.
Well, stay there, John, for a second. Let me go to Billy as well. Billy, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Billy, I was going to say it's a storm in a teacup, but it's not really, because it's a huge piece of news.
It's not a storm of teacup, Niall. Just before we get on, Niall, and I'm sure John will back my call here that the Niall Boylan International Airport is what we should be calling it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Boylan. AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
International airport. Yeah.
We'll twin it with Orlando and Florida, and we'll do free flights or something like that.
By the way, somebody made a lighthearted quip on the news that they had asked hundreds of people in a poll what we should call it. And he actually said, nobody actually said the word Bono, which is interesting. But anyway, Sinead O'Connor was mentioned. Samuel Beckett was mentioned. Troy, what's his face from the Irish football team, was mentioned.
Troy Parrott.
So I don't know nothing about football. And of course, John McGurk as well mentioned Jackie Charlton, which I think would be a good idea too. But anyway, forget about airports for the moment. I'll come back to airports in a minute. In relation to this park, I mean, is it such a big deal to rename it? I'm just putting my other hat on, my impartial hat here. I mean, okay, they might believe it's anti-Semitic, but the suggestion is that we're showing solidarity with a people who have lost thousands and thousands in a war over the last 2 years.
Niall, I believe it's anti-Semitic. I believe Dublin City Council and the councillors on Dublin City Council have emulated the actions of 1930s Germany.
Sorry, Niall. Let me speak for a second.
The first thing that the Nazi Party did when they came to power in 1930s Germany was to go around to every street that was named after a Jewish person, every place, every park, and remove it. Now, I'm not saying that Dublin City Council are Nazis. I'm saying they're emulating what the Nazi Party did by trying to remove the history, remove the history of the Jewish people that lived in that in those areas from the areas to minimise the fact that they existed in those places.
Yeah, John is saying it's only one plaque.
Yeah, it's only one plaque, but it is the only plaque. There is no other place named after a Jew in Ireland. None.
To be fair, Billy, that's because the Jewish population has always been very small in Ireland anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But Niall, this is the only one. That's it. Out of, what's next for Dublin City Council? Are they going to go back for Bloom's Day and decide to change Leopold Bloom from being someone of Jewish descent and change him to Leopold Brennan or something?
But there was an attempt, wasn't there, to rename Bloom's Hotel at one stage, going back a long time ago. Because I know I used to work there at the time. I'm not sure
on that one, Niall. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, for a community, a small community in Ireland that has one Jewish name, one Jewish place name in the whole country, for all the history of Ireland, for the people who escaped to Ireland from pogroms in Eastern Europe. And one place name, and we're trying to remove that. You know, it says a lot. It's trying to minimise and get rid of that memory of Jewish Dublin. Areas of Dublin, you know, that around Rathgar had a big Jewish community were called Little Jerusalem at times.
But hang on, Billy, is it reasonable to separate, you know, the heritage of a, you know, a Jewish Irish figure from the state? State's actions of Israel associated with him, but or the broader community.
The man is dead.
No, I'm well aware of that.
The man is long dead. He cannot be held responsible for the actions that have happened since he has died, can he?
He was
the governor of the West Bank as well, right? And
After the 1967 war, you're right, John. He was involved
in the displacement of over 10,000 people, which were Palestinians, right?
I mean, the reason at that particular time it was renamed, which was in 1985, what used to be Orwell Quarry Park. Anyway,
1985, renamed when he visited the country in 1985.
But the renaming was done to coincide what was billed as the kind of tri-millennium of Jerusalem at the time, wasn't it?
Quite young at that stage, now, so I don't remember what the politics of it being named after him at that stage were, but it was. Yeah. And as John McGurk rightly said, he's the only foreign dignitary to visit this country to speak in our parliament in our own language. So whether elements of the country like to accept him or not, he was an Irishman. He was an Irish Jewish man. And a park was named after an Irish Jewish man. And now members of Dublin City Council want to remove that name. They would be like...
Hang on, Billy. John, just one more thing you want to say there, John, before I bring in Ibrahim. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's really nothing coming that, you know, the wading in by the Martins, the Swollen and the Harrises. Surely Dublin City Council, should be able to make their own impartial decisions, not to be bullied and intimidated by the chief of the country or the tarnisher.
I'm sorry, John, your line is very bad.
Okay, well, he's suggesting that is it fair of the tarnisher and the Taoiseach to get involved in this, and the Dublin City Council should be allowed to make their own decisions. But I suppose, John, the answer to that is simply...
The Taoiseach and tarnisher should have stayed out of this. They should have let Dublin City Council have the vote. I completely think that they should have allowed them to have the vote. Because, you know what, let's let them...
I don't necessarily agree, Billy, because the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have to take responsibility then for the reputation
of
Ireland.
Yes, Niall, you're completely right.
Yeah, and normally council decisions only affect us internally, but this particular council decision would have had... it's on a world stage. It would have affected us across the world.
I'm sorry now, Niall, but like the councillors, of which only one was a dissenting voice, I think his name is Dermot Lucy.
Dermot Lacey,
Dermot Lacey, beg your pardon, of the Labour Party was the only dissenting voice, and credit to the man, because he saw what this was all about and he decided to vote against it. But you know what? The other, I think there's 15 of them on that committee, and the other councillors, they should have had to have the vote. If it passed, it should have gone through. But it's a situation where it should have never gotten to the point where it got to.
Stay there for a second, Billy. I want to go to Ibrahim as well. Ibrahim, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Good, long time no talk. Ibrahim, nice to have you on. Yeah. Ibrahim, in relation to this storm in a teacup, or international global storm in a teacup, do you believe the park should have been renamed?
Yes, okay. Very much so.
Why?
Personally, I mean, because I believe Herzog represents everything that is anti-Irish. It's the worst of everything in the world with regards to colonialism, apartheid, genocide, ethnic cleansing. Everything the British did to the Irish is now represented by this name Herzog and any other leader that currently lives or pretty much person in Israel that colonizes Palestinian land.
Colonizers of Palestinian lands. There was never a Palestine that existed as a country until it's been recognized. No, there wasn't.
Why don't you open the Bible, John?
Yes, the Romans. I'm not John, by the way. The Romans expelled the Jews. They renamed Judea and Samaria and Israel. They renamed it Palestinia, Syria. And since then, it has been a province of other countries, but it has never existed as an independent entity until it was recognized in the last couple of years.
Let Ibrahim respond to that.
The state of Palestine existed pretty much since the beginning of time. If you only bother to not read push Jewish propaganda, but the facts remain. If you open your own Bible, you will see this also.
Okay, hang on, lads. I honestly don't have time for the history lesson, and I do apologize to both of you, by the way. I'm not being condescending, but I don't have time for the history lesson. But Ibrahim, in relation to renaming that particular park, it's in Ratcar, where the Jewish community are, which are very small in Ireland, by the way. They're only a small population in Ireland. I think there's only about 1,600 Jewish people left in Ireland. I mean, the government see that as a great insult to those people. And on a world stage, because it's such a small amount of people who are very welcome in this country, by the way, it's a small amount of people who have one plaque on in a park, they see it as being anti-Semitic. Would you agree that it's anti-Semitic?
No, it's not anti-Semitic, and I don't actually recognize this word anymore. It has no value. Based on what
of course you don't. I'm not surprised. You don't recognize.
Yes, of course, Billy. I'm a Semite, so I think I would recognize it better than you would.
You're not which? You're which? Sorry,
he said he's Semite.
You're a Semite,
by the way.
Okay.
Yes. So, yes. But I would know this better than you would.
So you are an individual from the Levant? Yes.
Yes, I was born in Lebanon.
What part of the Levant are you from?
Lebanon.
Now, can I ask you, how many Lebanese people were killed in concentration camps in an anti-Semitic purge in the 1930s and 40s?
Well, we know that hundreds of thousands were pushed out of the country.
How many Jews were pushed out of Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon after? There were 900,000. 900,000 expelled or forced to leave countries after the foundation of Israel.
So you think them going and taking someone else's land justifies that?
Ibrahim, just to clarify, you don't recognize the state of Israel, obviously.
No, not at all. I mean, for me,
under the IHRC definition of anti-Semitism, that is an anti-Semitic comment, not to recognize the state of Israel.
I'm proud to say it, and I believe that it should be Palestine like it was, and open to all people.
So you're not even open to a two-state solution?
No, I'm open to state of Palestine.
We don't have time to get into it today, Ibrahim, but there's been wars all over the world, you know, different wars for many different reasons, and everybody comes up with an agreement in the end. And normally, even in Ireland here, we come up with a kind of two-state solution, I suppose you could call it, in relation to Northern Ireland. I mean,
In the interest of peace, why don't you listen to Netanyahu's own statements only recently, where he will not accept a two-state solution? They do not accept this, so why would I have to accept something like this? I believe it should be Palestine like it was, open to Jews, Muslims, and Christians. One state that allows all equal opportunity.
Tell me this, Ibrahim, should the Christians and the Jews have to pay the jizya as they did under the Ottomans?
That was under the Ottomans. There was never...
I'm just asking, in your dream state where everyone will live in unity, should the Christians and the Jews be taxed because they're Christians and Jews?
Well, I mean, it depends on what services they're getting. You're getting taxed here, aren't you? Your government taxes...
The religious taxes were just for
providing a service of security.
If I could go back to Herzog Park if I can, just for a moment. I mean, Ibrahim, I respect the fact you're from Lebanon. I respect the fact that you obviously have a view in relation to this because you know more about the history than most people would in that area and that region. But in saying that, we're talking about Ireland now. And, you know, we class ourselves as a very welcoming, neutral country. And, you know, the idea of the one plaque that is celebrated by the Jewish people in a park in Ireland would be removed because of our principles, our political principles. And that doesn't mean, by the way, we can't support the people of Gaza and Palestine, you know, in some way. I think people support peace is what they support more so than anything else. The fact that we want to remove that and rename that doesn't make us look good on an international stage. Would you not agree with that?
Honestly, no. I believe it should be something that represents Ireland. All landmarks in the country should represent the people of this country. I mean, why not call it Michael Collins Park, for instance, or James Connolly Park?
Herzog was an Irishman.
He was born in Belfast.
In Dublin. Yeah. His father was the Sinn Féin rabbi. His family has links in Dublin. He is Irish. It doesn't matter. Okay. So you're saying naming it after an Irish person doesn't matter because he's a Jew, is what you're telling me.
No, it's because...
He was Irish.
Billy, let him answer that question.
Michael Collins hid in his house when he was on the run from the British forces. He's as Irish as I am.
But Michael Collins...
No. Just if you could address the question Billy's asked him. Billy's saying he feels he's as Irish as most of us here, and the only reason you don't want it named Herzog Park is because you don't like the Jews.
No, it's not just I have no problem with the Jews actually, because being a Muslim, we consider them our cousins. So this is not the issue about Judaism. It's about somebody who went on to become a genocidal. Murderer, basically. Yeah, you know, this is all he represents now. He went back to ethnically cleanse someone else's country to allow people from a third country
they lived,
to come and move.
Sorry, Billy, go ahead.
No, there's no point at this stage.
Okay.
So basically, you know, it's there should be at the minimum a vote for the people to choose what they would like.
I don't want to preempt that, but I would imagine. Yeah. The majority of Irish people would vote not to change the name of the park.
Well, if the people want this, then so be it. But I don't accept that. Firstly, what you said in the beginning was that our leaders, they're not our leaders. They are the representatives of the people of Ireland, and they should be listening to what the people want. This is what's happening now with politics, is that people think that...
Well, they have listened. I mean, the reason they got involved, and Billy is right, maybe, and John is right, they probably shouldn't have got involved, but the reason they did get involved is because this went viral on social media over the weekend, in particular this last weekend, and the vast majority of people, the vast majority of posts that I've seen, thought this was the most ridiculous idea, and it was anti-Semitic.
Well, I think once again now we're learning about a lot of the viral movements and their origins from how Elon Musk exposed a lot of the social media accounts on X. Mm. So for me, I think it should be some kind of a referendum.
I'll tell you what, Abraham,
with your name. Go and vote. And
I'm not sure if you're aware, Ibrahim, but X has brought in the feature where you can check where an account is posting from, and a lot of those accounts.
Yeah, there was one Palestinian reporter who has started up a petition to sign to rename the park, and it turns out his origins are in Tunisia.
He's in Indonesia.
Or Tunisia, I think it was. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just like all those pro-Israel accounts that people thought were Americans are all based out of Israel. Just like Homeland Security, America's Homeland Security X account is based
out of
Israel.
Yeah, but now, to be fair, I want to be fair, because loads of people are using this new feature where you can click basically on the date that somebody joined on Twitter and it'll tell you where their account is based. If you click on my account, it says United Kingdom. And that's just because I visit Northern Ireland quite a lot. Now, it still says on my account using a Republic of Ireland iOS app. But and Twitter says they don't really know how they're going to get around this. Like, for example, if you go on holidays to America for 3 weeks and you're using your account quite a lot while you're over there, it'll actually come up on your account based in US. So because it bases it on how often you're tweeting from a certain IP address.
Yeah, it's like the tweeting of your current location. It's like when you're traveling.
Exactly. So if you're away on holidays for a period of time and you're using the account a lot, it will come up. Now, it will change back again when you come back home again. But if you're going back and forward, it sometimes can be confusing. So it's not to be taken verbatim that that's exactly accurate. What you should look at is the iOS of the app, which is at the bottom. Anyway, we could go on and on about that. Sorry, let me just bring in Alan, if I can, in relation to this as well. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niles.
There you go. You heard what Ibrahim says. He doesn't recognize the state of Israel. There's no two-state solution, and he doesn't believe this is a good idea to have what he believes was a dictator and somebody who was responsible for ethnic cleansing represented in a park in Dublin.
Well, it's a complicated thing, and we have a lot of history of how the Jewish people in Ireland helped the poor when they were going through poverty. My ma got money every few months off of you, man, and she'd pay him back a small amount of interest. The Jews were very cognizant of their position, and they helped a lot of poor people in Ireland in the harder times. And I don't think this attitude of the Muslim man there, he's just coming from an anti Jewish sentiment, because
of, but he says he's not anti-Jewish. According to his religion, Muslims and Jews are cousins.
Well, that's what they say, but there's a rivalry between them because of Israel, and we need to
pull us up on people's religious history, you know, between who his sons are.
The story of Israel is modern. It's not an ancient story. It's a modern take of taking over a country. And they got out of the Holocaust, and then they decided to set up their own land, which was given to them.
But you have simplified the story quite a lot. But go on, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why it goes to history as well. But
yeah, I know, but here's the thing. You know, we can't, and I say this to you, both you and Ibrahim, in relation to what's happening in Palestine. We can't dwell on the past too much. We have a past, obviously, with the United Kingdom. But I would like to think the majority of people in this country don't dislike the people of the United Kingdom, because they're not the ones who invaded our country, personally. Individually.
Lyle, I've never let history bind me over. I've never been anti-British when it comes to Britain, when it comes to our history over the 800 years that they were here. I just see that was part of the dark side of modern...
It is, but we accept certain things, and I say this to Ibrahim, we accept things in the name of peace, don't we?
And there was three other things that went on when the famine was on. Victoria gave 20 million of her own money to support the poor in Ireland.
So okay, I'm going over time, Alan, here, in 3 or 4 minutes, okay. Get back to the park. Let me get back to the park. Herzog Park.
The park should be kept as it was, and it shouldn't be removed from its position. It's a historical landmark for the Jewish people, and we don't need to inflict any more sentiment towards them because of what's happening in Palestine. We can't do that. That's just silly.
Okay, Alan, I appreciate that. Sorry for cutting you a bit short there. Yeah, sorry, Ibrahim. Go ahead.
Why would you accept that it was changed originally from the Quarry Park to Herzog Park? I mean, it had something that represented Ireland. So why would anyone accept that?
Well, they did that then at the time. Now, I'm only telling you what it says here, but it said the renaming coincided with what was billed as the Trimillennium of Jerusalem in 1996. It was originally called Orwell Quarry Park, named after George Orwell, probably. Orwell Quarry Park at the time. But it represented something at the time because many people of the Jewish community lived there. And I think not only that, because obviously Chaim Herzog, as John mentioned, one of the only Israeli leaders that came to Ireland and spoke in fluent Irish. He was raised in Ireland. He did a lot for the Irish people. He was born in Belfast. So that's why it was named after him.
So what is it that he did for the Irish people?
Personally, John spoke about him earlier on. I don't know exactly what he did for the Irish people. I wasn't around at the time. But in saying that, obviously he was involved, you know, in the solidarity of the Jewish people in Ireland. And the Jewish people have been, as Alan rightly pointed out, has been very kind to the Irish people over the years.
Sorry, Alan is the speaker that was just before us?
Yes.
Just before now. Okay, so... with regards to how the Jews were, I forget the name that the Irish used to call them, but they used to give out loans to the Irish people who were starving at ridiculous interest rates. And so it was more of abuse, but political propaganda.
What you're saying, there's still loan sharks today, by the way, that charge ridiculous interest rates. There used to be a term called the Jew man years and years ago in Ireland, and that was the man who would come to the door and he'd loan your mother a few quid and she'd pay him back a fiver a week. People who were in poverty. That's what Alan was referring to. But by the way, all those people weren't necessarily Jews. It was just a name given to those people who came to the door. It was called the Jew man. But
if you look back into Germany pre-World War, it was the Jews who actually...
Yeah, but Ibrahim, we accept a two-state solution here in Ireland to some degree. In the name of peace.
I understand what you're saying now, but when... you're dealing with the opposite side. who was telling you clearly, he's stating clearly in Dolby sound, if you don't have a picture, then he's saying that we will not have a two-state solution. So why?
But part of the ceasefire and part of the rules of the ceasefire, according to Donald Trump, is that there is a two-state solution.
Well, this is it's not going to happen, because after this was stated, Netanyahu has continued with his constant attacks on the West Bank and on Gaza, and he has stated again and again that there will be no two-state solution.
Okay, but stay there for a second, Ibrahim, if you can. I just want to bring Seamus in. I've literally got 2 minutes. Seamus, hi. Sorry for putting you on the end. Go ahead, Seamus.
Listen, I'm just going to cut straight to the point. My message is direct to Ibrahim and the like-minded individuals. First and foremost, what's happened in Palestine and Israel has nothing to do with the Irish state nor the Irish people. And no foreign national, or no Muslim who's not from this country, should be coming here and dictating to the Irish state and the Irish people what they can put up or cannot put up.
But Ibrahim lives here. He works here. No. To be fair, Ibrahim works here, lives here, pays his taxes here. He's quite entitled to an opinion.
Yeah, well, there's like-minded individuals who are not from this state, who are here as immigrants or whatever, and are basically dictating through a left-liberal agenda as to what Irish people and the Irish state should do. And my message is no. It doesn't concern our country, and no foreign nationals should be given a right really to actually dictate what we do and put up and do not put up in this country. If you don't like it, leave.
But with the greatest respect, it wasn't foreign nationals that made this suggestion. They were Irish councillors, indigenous Irish councillors.
Yeah, well, it's covering topics and agenda that have nothing to do with the Irish people nor the Irish state. When we look at the state of what's going on in this country, it doesn't really concern us. And
I'm not suggesting we should focus. I'm not suggesting every day in the Dáil should be focused on what's happening in Palestine and Israel. But in saying that, you can't ignore the fact that there's a war happening in the world. And by the way, I don't dismiss what John McGurk said earlier on. There are thousands of Christians being killed, by the way, in Sudan, and we seem to ignore that for some odd reason. I have no idea why. Can't ignore the fact there's a war happening somewhere in the world.
No. First, the reason they're ignoring is because it's all a part of left liberal lunatic agenda, inclusive of mainstream media. That's everyone, including the dogs and cats in the street now in this country and in other countries, especially like the UK, Italy, Denmark, and so on. So my message is direct. It's not an issue that concerns the Irish state or the Irish people. It shouldn't be given as much debate and airtime. People who have issues with this, go back to a country where you feel that it's more akin or friendly to the environment that you like. And if you don't like it here, leave. It's as simple as that.
That's not very fair to people who are living in this country who might be originally from maybe Lebanon or Palestine or Israel or whatever it is. We're living in this country a long, long time. You can't turn around and say, happening, go back. That's not really the answer, is it? Hang on. Let Ibrahim respond to you very quickly. Go ahead.
Hang on.
I've got one minute and I need Ibrahim to just respond to what you said. Ibrahim respond to you.
Based on what was being said now, then why have the Herzog Park? He's not an Irishman, born in Northern Ireland. He may have lived in Dublin.
Well, he was born in Northern Ireland. He is Irish. Yeah, sorry, Ibrahim, just to clarify that.
But he left Ireland and he went to Israel to murder people and take somebody else's land. So why would he represent the Irish? What I said is the park should be named something that represents Ireland and the Irish. This is what I believe in. I didn't say some foreign immigrant, let it represent somebody else. Represent Ireland and the Irish.
Okay, Seamus, just very quickly, go ahead.
Can I just respond?
Very quickly.
It's just nonsense. It's absolute woke nonsense. I'm sick of it, like a lot of people in this country and elsewhere in Europe. These are agendas and policies, changes to policies and whatever, that have nothing to do with this country nor the people of this state. And no foreign national or immigrant to this country, for that matter, should be given a right to dictate and rewrite the history of this country.
It's not foreign nationals or immigrants to this country are dictating it. It's Irish councillors.
Yeah, they're a part of the whole agenda. Look at what the Irish government were doing last week. They were parading that Bob Villain rapper around the
Dáil,
like he's some sort of hero. And the comments that he made about Charlie Cork were absolutely appalling.
He denies that, by the way. Mind you, the video is there for all to see. Listen, unfortunately, Seamus, I've run out of time. Ibrahim, thank you very much indeed. And Seamus, thank you very much indeed,
thank
both of you. And thank you to everybody who got involved in that topic. All right.